Some testify that God has been good lately. He's been very good lately. Or God has been good to me lately. No, that's not true. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Isn't that right? According to the Bible, in Psalm 52 and verse 1, and I want you to see this. It's that good of a verse, just a wonderful verse. Psalm 52, 1, go over there with me, please. God is the only one who is good. According to Luke 18, verse 19, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. God is the only one who is good. But in Psalm 52 and verse 1, why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth how long? Continually. That's right. It goes on and on and on, even when we don't think that the events in our life are good or that God is good because of what's going on in our life. The Bible says He's good all the time. It endureth, the Bible says, continually. Even God's Word is good. In Hebrews 6, 5, and have tasted the good Word of God. His Word is good because He is good. And so God is good. Everything works for good to those who love God. In Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So God is good. He's good all the time. I thought back at how good God's been to me at Christmas. My dad worked on a train. He was a conductor and a brakeman. And so he was called out. They give him a call. And he had an hour and a half to get ready and eat and get all of his baggage together to get down to the caboose and get on the train. And he would go back and forth between our hometown, Montpelier, Ohio, and Chicago, 180 miles. And he'd do that 3 times a week. And so he missed most of our Christmases. My two brothers and my sister were 9 years old, older than me, or more. And so by the time that I was 10 years old, there's nobody in the house. Dad's gone. Kids are gone. It's me and Mom. And so I had this ball can, a jar, and with a lid on it. And Dad had punched a hole in the top of it. And every time all throughout the year that I got any money for anything, I stuck it down in that can and saved money all year long in that can. And then when Santa come, he would take the money out of the jar, at least that's what Mom and Dad told me, to help pay for the gifts that were under the tree. And that's how we did it. I don't know if that's how you do it or if that's how it's supposed to be done. I don't know where they got it, but that's what they did. And so on Christmas Eve, at about 4 o'clock, Mom would put a meal on, and she and I would have a meal together. I remember reading the Christmas story every year, singing a carol with her, and then Mom praying. Then we'd open the gifts, and I'd love that. I could hardly wait as a kid, just hardly wait for them to open the gifts, shake the gifts and want to know what's in them. One year I got a 3-inch reel-to-reel tape recorder. Man, that was big stuff. They had just come out, and I was going to get to record things on this reel-to-reel, and I was all excited about that. One year, I got a 26-inch black Schwinn bicycle with training wheels on it. You'd think 26 years old, I'd already learned to ride a bike, but I didn't own a bike before that. So that was my first bike. It snowed on Christmas Day. We opened them on Christmas Eve. And so it snowed Christmas Day, so I didn't let that stop me. And I went out and got on the bike with the training wheels on it and rode around the block. You can see me doing that. One year I got a Spanish guitar for Christmas. Never did master that. One year I got a ping pong table. Didn't have anybody to play with me, but I had a ping pong. I'd play against the wall and learn to play. One year I got my very own transistor radio. And so we had Christmases. I usually got a piece of clothing, a small toy, maybe a candy or some food item as well. About 7 o'clock at night now, after I played for a little while, then we would go over to the church for communion. Every Christmas Eve, their church had communion for the families. Later, when my dad got saved and was disabled, didn't have to go out on the railroad anymore, we went as a family, including Shirley then later on, for family communion. Of course, Dad and Mom are in heaven today. And I'm so glad that they taught me the right things about Christmas. God's been good. What a heritage they gave me, and the many precious memories. You have memories too. Can you say that God has been good to you through the Christmas? Absolutely. In the Christmas story, the goodness of God is demonstrated over and over again. First, we see that God showed his goodness by sending his servants. By sending his servants. Number one, by sending his servants. I tell every church that I go to, I said, now, I think in terms of points. So I'll give you the points. If you're a note taker, you can follow the points, and I'll introduce each one, and you can make notes. And so, sending his servants. In the Christmas story, we see him sending his servants several times. He sent the prophets to prophesy of these events. Moses, Micah, Isaiah, we looked at them this morning. Jeremiah, even Daniel and David and others wrote of Christ coming as the Messiah. He sent those servants to prophesy for us. But the Jews failed to listen. And even the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible scholars of their day, failed to heed the messages that were given to them. God was so good to forewarn us of his plan hundreds of years before they occurred, these different events, through his messengers, the prophets. Then he sent his angels. We're still on this first point of sending his servants. He sent his angels several times. He sent his angel to Mary in Luke chapter 1. He sent the angel to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. He sent the angel to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. God sent his servants with a message to let them know what was occurring in the present and what would be occurring in the future. We see God's goodness in letting his people know his plans. I like that. Let people know your plans. And he has done the same for us through his word, hasn't he? We have detailed account in the Bible of what has happened in the past. So we know what's happened in the past. He's been good. He's shown us the pattern of what ought to be in the present in the local church and also in our personal lives. He's taught us what ought to be in the present. And he's given us prophecy enough that we know his plans for the future. Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. He's been good to let us know all that he's done, he is doing, and will do. God sends his servants to declare his word, and God has sent his servants to this church to declare his word. In this, we see the goodness of God on this Christmas night. Remember how good God's been to send his word to us. I mean, I've seen people make a 180 just because of the preached word, haven't you? And maybe in your family, maybe you, because you've heard the preached word, you were headed down the wrong way, but you heard the preached word and it flipped you back around in the right direction. That's the goodness of God in the land of the living. It is interesting that every time that his servants spoke in the Christmas story, the people listened and they obeyed. And because they did, they were blessed. Today, he's not speaking to us by Old Testament prophets and angels verbally, but his angels to us today are first his preachers. It's sad that many times today his preachers will declare his word as surely as the angels did in the Bible, as surely as the prophets did in the Old Testament, but the listeners shrug it off in our day of plenty. He also speaks through Bible teachers, through other believers, but his word is often viewed as a take it or leave it smorgasbord. Folks, we see the goodness of God that he would be willing to speak to us. That he would take time to speak to us individually. Amen. We would be blessed if we were as they were, if we would listen and obey his word. Determine in the coming year that you will value his word. That when you come to church, this will be a time of feeding and a time to perk up. Not go to sleep, but perk up to hear what God has to say. And that you will resolve to obey what you hear from God's word. Because it's the goodness of God that brings it to you. Number two, God showed his goodness not only in sending his servants, but in sending Joseph sleep. In verse 24 in our text, Joseph is in deep thought about what to do with Mary when the angel appears to him. And we know that Joseph fell asleep because in verse 24 it says he awakens. He was raised from the sleep. God is so good to give us sleep and rest when we desperately need it, even when we are in such a stressful situation in our lives. According to Psalm 127 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city," listen, "the watchman waketh, but in vain." In verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved," what? Sleep. He gives us sleep. It's the goodness of God that gives us sleep. Maybe you've been going through a stressful time. Maybe there's been something that's been on your mind. I don't know if you're like me or not. But I go to bed at night, and if there's something on my mind, it's just there. And I toss and turn with it, and then I realize what's happening, and then I'll pray it to the Lord and say, "Lord, now I need my sleep. I need you to help me to overcome this." And I'll have relief for a couple of minutes. Pretty soon I'm thinking about it again. I have to commit that thing to the Lord several times. But the Bible does say he gives us sleep. It's a gift of God. It's the goodness of God to his people. And then in Luke chapter 2 and verse 17, God showed his goodness in the Christmas story by bringing the shepherds. By bringing the shepherds. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Interesting. God's goodness made the shepherds witnesses to others of the birth of the Christ child. It was his goodness. If God should use you as a witness to others for Christ and of Christ's coming in this coming year, it would be his goodness to you and to those who hear. It's the goodness of God that makes us witnesses. It made them witnesses. Do you realize that witnessing is a privilege? Sometimes we look at it and we shy back as though we could never do that. But it's the goodness of God that he opens doors for you and me to talk about our faith in Christ. It's a manifestation of the goodness of God that you and I can speak on his behalf. And when you don't witness, it's a curse on your life because of a lack of faith or courage. Same thing with me. He doesn't have to use us, but he's willing. I wonder, are you willing for his goodness to flow through you this coming year in the matter of witnessing? God used shepherds to bring folks to the babe, to Christ. Many others heard about Christ through the shepherds. That's what it says. It says, they made it known abroad. And all they that heard, that a lot of people heard what the shepherds told them, and they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so may God be pleased to loose our tongues in this coming year, that we may be bold to declare Christ to others. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not going to do it. It's up to us. If we are willing, then it will be God's goodness that allows it. And by the way, God announced the birth of His Son to the rich and to the poor. Yes, He did. To the wise men and to the lowly shepherds. The rich just had to come farther to get there. Did you ever think about that? They had to come farther. God is good. First, He sent His servants to tell them of God's word. Second, He sent sleep to Joseph in the midst of trouble. Thirdly, He sent the shepherds to witness to others. Fourthly, we see more of the goodness of God in the Christmas story as He sent a sacrifice for their offering. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, they brought the babe and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. God provided them. Listen, God provided them with the right sacrifice. They weren't rich people. You don't have to be rich for God to provide for you. God provided for them the sacrifice. And God has provided us with the correct sacrifice as well. And the sacrifice today is Jesus Christ Himself. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, I'll just read these verses to you. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He's the sacrifice, and He provided it for us. Hebrews 9:26, and then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus was our sacrifice. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. God has shown His goodness to us. Oh my, and I know you know this, and I know you delight in it, that He has made a sacrifice of His Son for your sin and for mine. The goodness of God has been rich to us, even as it was rich to them in the Christmas story. We also see the goodness of God in the Christmas story in sending His star as a guide. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Also in verse 10, when Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. His star was miraculous because it provided guidance to the wise man and brought them right over Bethlehem to where the Christ child was. God is good. God is good to guide us, is He not? God will gladly guide us in our decisions if we will let Him. And when He does, we need to thank Him for His goodness to us. How many of you would say this year there was a situation that I needed guidance from God in? Specifically, not in general now, but there was a specific situation and I needed guidance in it, maybe several specific situations, and I sought God, and God guided me. Did I see your hand? Amen. What is that? That's the goodness of God to guide us when we need it. And in the next year, you know that we're going to need guidance again. What are we going to do? We're going to go to God again Every time something comes up, not try to solve it in our own flesh, but we're going to seek His Spirit and His answer and His guidance in it. And guess what He's going to do? He's going to guide us again. That's right. And it will be a manifestation of His goodness to us, even as it was to them in Christmas story. God is good. He sent sleep in the midst of trouble to Joseph. He sent His servants to tell them the Word of God. He sent His shepherds to witness to them. He sent a sacrifice for them to make on behalf of having a child. He sent a star to guide the wise men. Next, we see that God was also good in the Christmas story by sending His Son. Sending His Son. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you probably have it committed to memory by now, as we've been, there's been a lot of preaching on Christmas and teaching on it and talk about it and the cantata. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, he shall be called great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's Jesus, the Son. He was good to us in sending His Son. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God was good in sending us His Son. In Isaiah 9, we see the two natures of Christ implied. Unto us a child is born. That's speaking of Christ as a man, since He came through natural means, that is, natural birth. The word child is in relation to man. But then, unto us a son is given. That's speaking of Christ as God, as the Son of God, since His Heavenly Father gave Him to us. He was born of a virgin. And so the word Son is in relation to God. He was the God-man. He was the child of man, the Son of God. Notice that God sent His best gift, His only Son. And so the fact that He sent His best gift is only more evidence that He's good. He's good to us, folks. We have His Son. We see the goodness of God in sending His Son. Finally, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. We see the goodness of God in the Christmas story by His sending a Savior. Sending a Savior. And the angel said unto them, fear not, verse 10. This is Luke 2:10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God is so good. Here's what He did. He looked down from heaven and He saw our need. The truth is, He saw our need from the foundation of the world. He saw our need, and He wanted to minister to our need. He wanted to solve our need. We were lost and needed a deliverer to set us free from the bondage of sin in our life. Now, here we see God extending goodwill toward men. We have sinned, and God is reconciling us to Himself. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, because He shall what? Save His people from their sin. I know that you are in this church service tonight. Is it possible that you have never received the free gift of salvation that he sent Jesus to work in your life. He intended for you to receive him as Savior. I know we don't have our normal crowd, but I've been in services before, and I'd written them off. As an assistant pastor, I was sitting there, and I thought, wow, it was a snowy night. I remember one particular night, and I can't think that we had 25 people to the service on this snowy night in Clyde, Ohio, where I was. But the pastor had service that night, and he preached like there were 200 there. And there was a guy who had ambled in that night. God had been working on his life and in his life. And he came in that night. And when the pastor gave the invitation, Ron Stiltner came forward and received Christ as Savior. Not only that, but we started discipleship classes, and Ron never missed. He showed evidence of his salvation being true because he was hungry for the Word of God. He came with his questions in his notebook. Listen, it could be that there's a Ron Stiltner in here tonight. It could be that you've come in and you have never received Christ. Oh my, this is Christmas, and he sent his Son as a Savior to save your soul from sin. Brethren, as you continue to celebrate the birth of our Lord, concentrate on the goodness of God. Think about his goodness to us. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's rejoice in the goodness of God to them in the Scripture and to us in this wonderful Christmas story.